Hello, St. Georgians near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on day 27 of our Year of the Bible adventure, and the last day of the time in the book of Exodus. Exciting book of Exodus, all kinds of great things happened during it, and we have now come to the very end, chapters 38 through 40. 38 through 40, well, let me see what I can say about it, because I think, you know, there's repetition from the earlier part, and you might say, isn't this just repetition from the earlier part? But no, it is not. It is the earlier part, told in the past tense, because what you saw earlier was the instructions being given for the construction of the tabernacle, and then a whole bunch of stuff happens, and then you get here to the actual building of the tabernacle. I mentioned yesterday about all the free will offerings that were made, that the fact that the people collected all their things, gave so much stuff that Moses had to say, hey, stop bringing all your stuff. And that every person made an offering, made a sacrifice according to their ability. So from each according to their ability. As someone once said, just want to mention a thing or two about it. There's something being shown here. Something very important. Both about, only about God. What is God going to do? We're still talking about in the aftermath of the golden calf business and all that kind of stuff, what is God going to do? Is he going to maintain relationship with Israel? We saw that he gave the second set of tablets with the Ten Commandments. Good. Glad we got that. But we're not just talking about a law here, right? We're talking about God's very presence. Is God going to be physically present with his people, even though they have now been revealed? If it wasn't clear before, they've now been revealed for who they really are. And so they do all the stuff, and the writer of Exodus wants to make it clear that they're doing stuff different, that they're doing stuff different now, because it'll say, and then they made this as the Lord had commanded, and then they did this as the Lord had commanded, like dozens of times. I think dozens of times they say, as the Lord had commanded, as the Lord had commanded. So let this be a kind of, remember, these are the scriptures that get read over and over again. Let this kind of be to us and to subsequent generations of readers, a kind of encouragement. You can make a whole bunch of mistakes, and then you can do as the Lord commanded, and things will be different. You're not stuck in one situation for the rest of your life. Once you've made even some terrible mistake, you're not defined by that mistake forever. You can do things differently, and Israel does do things differently as the Lord had commanded Moses, and so forth. So that's what they did. But you still have the question. So that's good news. We still have the question, yeah, but what's the Lord's response going to be? What's God's response going to be? Is he really going to draw close to Israel after all this? And so they get it all set up. But once it's all set up, that's great, as the Lord had commanded Moses. But it's empty. I mean, it's got stuff in it. It's got furnishings. It's got all that kind of stuff. But it's just stuff. It's empty of a living dynamism, right? The dynamism of God. And so there at the very end, Exodus ends on this really wonderful, promising note. Because they got it all set up. They got the whole thing set up. Fancy tent. Right? Tent, fancy furniture and all this kind of stuff. But it's still empty of life. And it says, and the glory of God came down and rested on the tabernacle. And from that day onward, that's where God was going to be. That's where God was going to live. God wanted to live with, among, for his people. It really did happen. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. They had taken the gift of Exodus that had been given them and they had squandered it. They had complained. They had taken the gift that was the law, which established this covenantal relationship between Israel and God, and they had squandered it. They had desecrated it. They had profaned it by making the golden calf. And then the Lord, nonetheless, the gracious Lord, the Lord in his mercy, came and said, yeah, he's going to dwell within them, dwell among them. And at that point, the tabernacle matters, right? At that point, the tabernacle is important, and it's alive, and it's dynamic, because the Spirit of God dwells there. And dare I say that it's the same for us too, that we have our lives, and we have our activities, and our things to do, and we scurry around and do this and that thing. But the Spirit of God is what makes us alive, what makes us truly alive, what gives us the true opportunity to live in accordance with God, you know, and in communion with God, with his Spirit. And how do you get his Spirit? Well, you ask for it. You ask for it. You listen to God and you ask, you plead for his Spirit. Now, the Epistle to the Hebrews and the Book of Revelation both pick up this idea of tabernacle as this important sort of symbol, both, you know, literal and symbolic, this important symbol, both of which mention it in the context of Jesus, that Jesus became the true tabernacle, right? God living among us, God being among us, God's physical presence among us. And that's good, because there's something dynamic about the tabernacle itself, about God's presence in the tabernacle itself, because that cloud that represents, you know, God's presence there, it sits there on top of the tabernacle most of the time, and then when it's time for them to move, it moves too, and it leads them. It leads them somewhere else, and that's what it's going to do. So if you follow the biblical chronology, it's been about a year. It's been about a year since the Exodus from Egypt itself, about 6 months, and then about 6 months of construction if you follow the biblical chronology. It's been about a year, and so they've got a whole lot of time still left in the journey to the promised land. But the Lord God would lead them there. Go look at it, right? So the presence of the tabernacle was not in order to just sit there and be cool. Sitting there and being cool is a fine thing to do, is a great thing to do. Some of the time they sat there and were cool. But other times it was time to move. Other times it was time to do things. God's Spirit is an active and living Spirit. And you see that with the tabernacle, you see that with the way the tabernacle is made. And I dare say we see it in our lives, in our individual lives, in our community lives. That living Spirit of God leads us into, well, shall we say, to the promised land. You know, whatever that promised land is here on earth, and then into the promised land in heaven, which is life eternal and harmony and communion with God and one another. I like that a lot, that movement of God, that it's not still and static, but there's a movement to it. And there's a movement to it that is sort of intrinsic to the form of a tabernacle, which is movable. The temple itself, which would be twice the size of the tabernacle, is not movable. And remember, God, when David talked about building the temple, God's like, I'm good with the tent, honestly. You can roll it up. You can put it on some poles, right? We got lots of instructions about poles. You can roll it up, put it on poles, carry it around. You don't have to stay in one place. God understood the need for a temple, and so that's where God was gonna live for the Israelites, because they needed it, not because God needed it. But the original plan there was the tabernacle. I don't know, it's a It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing if you got me, if you ask me. So Exodus starts out with there arose a king over Egypt who did not know Joseph and was oppressing the Hebrews. And it ends having been through a whole lot of stuff. Moses, plagues, burning bush, water in the desert, manna, tablets, golden calf, 40 days, instructions, making the actual thing, all these other kind of laws. It ends here on this hopeful note with God not being done with his people, right? But rather leading them ever farther along in his providential plan for them in the course of salvation history. So we're going to start Leviticus tomorrow. So Leviticus, a bunch of laws, also one of the books of Moses. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We'll get to that tomorrow. But just understand that we're ending Exodus here on this hopeful note, that God took the initiative at the beginning of Exodus, and God's taking the initiative at the end of Exodus. God showed his presence to the Israelites when they cried out to him under the yoke of Pharaoh, and he demonstrates his presence with them, his physical presence with them, here at the end of Exodus in the tabernacle. So I hope that's been good for you. I love going through Exodus. It's really fantastic. And we'll pick up again tomorrow. But hey, two books down, 64 to go. Well done. Let us pray. O God, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now go and be guided by the Spirit through the pages of Scripture and whatever else you're up to today. All right, talk to you tomorrow.